on, and that is moving. Okay. Psalm 100. It's only five verses, so I'm going to read the whole thing. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. But the very title up there says this is a psalm of praise. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. To be precise, I believe this is a psalm of instruction for worship, and also the reasons for worship of the Lord are given here. It's that old story. What the world doesn't understand is that the faith of God's elect is not blind. We see by the eye of faith. We do not see with our normal mortal sight, but we do see. We do see as through a glass darkly. We don't see everything. All we see is what has been revealed to us in his word, through his spirit, in our hearts and in our heads, in our minds and in our understanding. We have been given some things. There is a reason for the people of God to praise God. Oh, the title of this is, He Hath Made Us. As a matter of fact, the faith of God's elect is the farthest thing from blind faith that there is. You want an example of blind faith, I'll give it to you. Evolution. That's what it is. They're believing wholeheartedly and totally in something that can never be proven. And matter of fact, there's direct evidence against it. There are things that have been and are continuing to be and probably always will be suppressed. There are things I've read on the internet and in newspapers and in magazines that once I've read them and they seem to cast a little bit of doubt on this sort of thing, they disappear. It's like magic. Anything that goes against their thoughts about evolution disappears. Gone, like the wind. But I'll tell you this, this word endureth forever. It starts off, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. That's actually what it means. Now, I will point out that it just doesn't say make noise. Okay? It does say make a joyful noise. The scriptures are plain. And it's not even a joyful noise for a joyful noise's sake. It is to be unto the Lord. There's a reason for the joyful noise. It's the Lord. This is the first instruction of this psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it does say, who is to make it? All ye lands. You look that up, it says the whole earth. Now the whole earth doesn't know God. The whole earth doesn't want to know God. But the whole earth should make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He is the creator and the sustainer of this universe, of this earth, and every single thing that's on it. By him do all things consist. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I do want to point this out. Believers do not take a vow of silence. Okay? There are people who do. There are people who do. This whole psalm is about making noise, singing, come with what? Praise, thankfulness. All of these things in here are vocal. We are to praise God with our lips, from our hearts, from our being. We are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why? He's the Lord. We'll get into why. But this is vocal. We are to be serious. Because one of the definitions of this word joyful is mirth. There's nothing wrong with laughter. There's nothing wrong with it. Joy in your heart can put laughter in your mouth. There are things that just make me awfully happy that God has made in this world. But nothing gives me joy like his son. We are to be serious about him, and we are to be serious about his word. But that does not take away from our joy. That should be our joy. That we know him and make a joyful noise unto him. Guess what? This also is not a suggestion. This is a command. Make a joyful noise. It doesn't say make one if you want to. It says make one. To the Lord, all ye lands. And then it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The service of the Lord is not to be grievous. It's to be glad. It's to be glad. That word means glee. Or, guess what? Joyfulness. It's a different word, but it means sort of the same thing. We're to make a joyful noise, and we're to serve with joy. Believers are to be glad of service unto him. In service to the Lord. I will make a comment here, because sometimes you may not know what your service is, at least for a while. Because your service is yours. My service is mine. But yours is yours. I may not know what your service is. And there for a time, I don't know what my service is. And I can tell you this also, over the passage of time, your service may change as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say about a bishop? Not to be a novice. You have to grow into that. I remember the first time I stood up and did just a little Sunday school class or something at Mabscott. And I did make the announcement that I made the announcement. This was a long while back. I told him, I said, I am a novice. Because at that time I was. I made the comment also that if you wanted to know what one looked like, here I was. I'm not a novice anymore. By his grace, by his work in me and through me, I'm not anymore. But your service can change. It can expand and it might contract. It may narrow down to a focus. But I mentioned it last week. You gather together. You come and you listen. You contribute what God has given to you. Your service is your service. But here's the thing. Whatever it is, be glad in it. Be glad in it. It doesn't matter whether you're a toe or a finger or a mouth or ears or eyes or a hand or an elbow or a knee. It doesn't matter what part you have in the body. What matters is you're in the body. Be glad. He's put you where He wants you to be at this time. In time, it may change. In time, it may change. He's put Elizabeth as a mother right now. You weren't a mother last year. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Things change. And it's the same with the growth in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as it is in life. As you grow, you will change. Like I said, it may expand, it may contract, it doesn't matter as long as it's His service. Be glad in it. But I can tell you where it starts, if you want to know. I'll just read this. Psalms 122 and verse 1. The words of David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is where your service starts. In the gathering together with the people of God. Here's where you start. Are you glad to be here? That's what I meant. Are you glad to be here? I'm glad to be here every week. Sometimes I don't exactly enjoy the process of getting here, depending upon traffic and how many people try to run me off the road. Depending upon how I can move my knee when I get out of bed in the morning. But when I get here, I am always glad to be here. And this is where it starts for every child. You want to gather together as the people of God. With the people of God, yes, but as the people of God. We're the church. We are the church. We are His body, and He's placed us here because this is where He wants us. If He wanted us somewhere else, we'd be somewhere else. And you may be as time goes by. I may be as times go by. I have no plans, Ellen. But that doesn't mean anything to God. I didn't have any plans to be up here doing this right now, preaching. But I'm here I am. That's by His grace. That's by His power. And when He wants to, He'll take me out of it. He put me in it. He can take me out of it. It's His. And I, by His grace, I will be glad either way. But this is where you start. Let us go unto the house of the Lord. Because the second part of this verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. First of all, come before His presence. What did David say? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is a glad thing for me to hear the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord. The house that has been set aside. House that is designated. The meeting yesterday, y'all said it was really good. Is it good to hear the word of God proclaimed? Does it matter who proclaims it? It doesn't. We're all different. I can't preach like Walter. Walter doesn't preach like me. Neither one of us preach like Don Fortner. But is Christ preached? And are you glad to hear it? Are you glad to hear of Him? Because if you are, I can tell you this. It's not natural. It's not natural. You're an aberration. Well, let me qualify that. It's not natural unless you're a child of God. Because you've got another nature. You've got a new nature that this world doesn't have. This world doesn't want. And it is natural for you and for me to be glad to come to the house of the Lord. To come into His presence and hear His word proclaimed. It is natural for us, but not for anyone else. Because it starts with being glad to come, and then we'll learn something else. Because after you, when you show up, when you come, God will teach you. Psalms 84 and verse 10 says this, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." What does that say about your service? It doesn't matter what your service is, as long as your service is in Him. I'd rather hold the door for other people, for my God, than to live in the wickedness. The service of God is better than the success of this world. Guaranteed. And it's not guaranteed by me, it's guaranteed by God. The service of God is better than the life that's in this world. And the service of God is better than being of the world. Because His people are said to be in the world, but they're not of the world. And David wrote that I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather hold the door and greet people. Work at Walmart. But for the house of my Lord, for the house of my God, I'd rather be there. God will teach you that. When you come together. When you come together. And it says this, with singing. When you come before His presence, sing. I talked about this a little bit last week. Walter did on the radio. Singing is a command. Making melody in your heart. Singing praise to the Lord is commanded. I'll qualify it that way. And guess what? This is one of those vocal things. God doesn't need our singing. Our singing is for us. God doesn't need anything from us. He's commanded it, that we would sing forth His praises. Why? So that we would know His praises. That we know Him. It's given to us. It's given to us to be able to praise Him in song. And Walter's entirely correct. It does matter the manner of the singing and the manner and type of the music. You don't want the music or the melody to detract or try and add to the words of praise for God. It's the message that matters. It's always the message that matters. Is the message the truth of God? That's the way you're to sing. When you come into His presence, when we gather together to worship Him, to make a joyful noise, to serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. It's for us. It's for us. It's to His glory. It's for His glory. But it is for us. It's a comfort to us to gather together, to know that we're not alone, even in this world. We're in it, we're not of it, but we are in it. But that you gather together with those who are like-minded with Christ. And you can sing his songs, and you can hear his word preached, and you can come into the presence. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. He's here right now. He's here right now. And we need to sing his praises. We need to speak his praises. We need to tell what thus saith the Lord. Excuse me. Then we come to verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Man, I like that verse. I like that verse. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. I'm going to start off with a little bit with a negative, because there are some. I know there's one version out there. And what this one version says is, acknowledge that Yahweh is God. I don't think that's quite what this means. Okay? We are to acknowledge that God is God, that Yahweh is God, the Lord is God. We are to acknowledge, but that's not what this is saying. We are to make a joyful noise, serve with gladness. We are to sing. There is our acknowledgement before we get to it, before we get to this verse. Here in this verse and in the fifth verse also, I believe, we are told why we make a joyful noise. Why we serve God, why we come into his presence, and why we sing. This is the instruction of who the Lord God is, and we are to know it. In the Septuagint, Walter, the Greek version of the Old Testament, genosko is the word there. And in the Hebrew, the word is to know. Ye know the Lord, he is God. This is a psalm of worship and praise, but also instruction. And this is the instruction of who the Lord God is and what he has done. Now, I will be... What I want to say here, I don't know if I can get this quite right. I even wrote part of it down, but I don't know if I can. But I do want you to notice the order here. See, this starts off with make a joyful noise. Then it says serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Then it says ye know that the Lord, he is God. But in this verse, knowing God, knowing the Lord that he is God, comes before knowing that he hath made us. We got to know him. Him. Our Savior is a person. Our Lord is a person. Our salvation is a person. And you will know him. And he tells us exactly why here. Why are we joyful? Why do we make noise? Why do we serve? Why do we come and why do we sing? He hath made us. It's that simple, and yet that profound. Everything, as far as from our perspective, our point of view, comes from this, in this life. Right here, right now, in time. Our salvation is just as sure before the foundation of the world as it is now. But there comes a time and a place. One of the songs I wrote down for Elizabeth to do next week, Jesus is our great salvation. There's a verse in there that I really like. It says, free election known by calling. Election is free. Election is from before the foundation of the world. Our salvation began before the foundation of the world. And it began in the mind of God. And the Word who was with God and the Word was God. But there comes a time when it comes down, right? He hath made us. This is separate from the rest of the world. This is an us. This is not everyone. You are, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. But it says, he hath made us. Past tense. Because if you know that the Lord, he is God, it's because he hath made you. This is because it is personal. God has made you if you know him, but you are not alone because he made us. Gather together. He has made us. These are the instructions for the whole congregation. We don't have any secrets. There are places where there are preachers who say they believe this stuff, but they won't preach it. Here it is. Here it is. He hath made us. This is why you make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is why you serve the Lord with gladness. This is how you come before his presence. He hath made us. This knowledge is given to all who he has made. Now, some know more than others, certainly. But all know him. All know him. That's the whole thing. What you know is nowhere near as important as who you know. But who you know will tell you what you know. How do you work that out in your head? And I don't know if I could say that again. Not correctly? It's all right. Yeah, it's recorded. Because what you know is only because of who you know. Yeah. Yeah. And the world reveals to us every day who they know. And it ain't him. It ain't, know ye that the Lord, he is God. He hath made us. The world doesn't think that he hath made us. The world thinks he made them. He did, but he didn't. Not in this context. Not in this context. Because if he had made them, they'd know him. He that is of God heareth us. Guess what? That's the same us in 1 John in the New Testament as the same us right here in Psalm 100. He hath made us. All know him. Why? He is God. He is the Lord. Now, this is the explanation for how we know this. You understand? That whole nature or nurture question is out the window. We don't know him by nature. We don't know him by nurture. We do not know him by education. Because you may have been brought up in this. But that's not the same thing as knowing that the Lord, he is God. It is not found by education. It is only found by revelation. It is only found because he hath made you. The only way to know the Lord, he is God, is by creation. His creation. To bring forth, to make, to accomplish, to act with effect. That's what that word means. He hath made us. God acted with effect. There's an effect on you if God made you. There's an effect in you if God made you. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? That's what this word means. It is his creation of his people. And this creation has results. This creation has an effect. The making comes first, even when we don't know it. Even when we don't know it. Can you know Him and not know for sure that He made you? Yeah, you can. When you start out, you might have thought you had something to do with it. We are that depraved, Mason. We are that depraved, you know? You understand? I mean, this... Because the next statement says... Here it is in Psalms, Old Testament. Now, this psalm is attributed to David by other sources. It's not here, but it sounds like David to me, for what I know. But it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and what? And not we ourselves." Why does he put that in there? Because we are depraved enough to think we had something to do with it. This is education right here. This is instruction. This is, "Thus saith the Lord," through this psalmist right here. And you know the funny thing is, I read this, and I read it out loud here to you guys, and I'm talking about it, and then you stop and you think, there are people, I mean really, really religious people, who wonder where we get this stuff from. Where did that weird doctrine, Walter, you're part of a cult, aren't you? They think we're preaching some new weird doctrine. It's right here in Psalms 100. It's back in Genesis 1 and Genesis 3. It's all throughout the scriptures. They suspect that people who preach the sovereign grace of God to be part of a new cult. And no, no, and no, we are not. I mean, at best, we could be part of an old cult. It's right here in the Old Testament, okay? That's the best. That's the worst, whatever you want to call about it. But our doctrine, what we teach, what we preach here, to us, is known as the Scriptures. This Bible right here. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what version you have. There's truth enough in it to see it if you'll read it. But they'll read it and they won't believe it. Why? Because He hath not made them. The difference is not in us. The difference is in who made you. Because He talks about Jacob, then He talks about Israel. Jacob was the one who started, but He made Israel. You understand? I didn't choose you because you were the most numerous of people. What did He say? No. No, I chose you because you were the fewest. As a matter of fact, you were none before God made Israel. There were no people of God until God made him a people of God. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. The truth is everywhere in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And here David plainly excludes the work of those created. Why? From the creation itself, and from the creation of themselves. Our doctrine comes directly from the Word of God. What? And so does our life comes from God. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. Our knowing the Lord, He is God, is not of ourselves. Our serving the Lord with gladness, our making a joyful noise, our coming before His presence with singing is not of ourselves. Because I don't want to leave anything out. He is the author and the finisher of faith. And faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Got nothing to do with man other than it's given to a man. When He hath made us. He hath made us. He hath made us. we do these things not of ourselves, but of Him. And then it says, we are His people. But actually, that we are, you can leave out. It's in italics there, because that is basically, I think, a continuation of this thought. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves, His people. Understand? That's the description of who the us is. In the little statement before that, the phrase before that. This is the us, His people. He's not talking about the world, just in case you weren't sure. He hath made us, not we ourselves, His people. This is the definition. This is the exclusion. This is the inclusion. This is the way God works. He hath made us, what? His people. He hath made us His people. The negative is that everyone is not His people. And there's no reason to think you are unless He has made you in time.
Right.
Free election known by calling. Sure. Right. You may be. I don't know. That's of no debate right now, because there's no way to debate it one way or the other.
Right, exactly.
There's nothing to debate about. But free election is known by calling. He hath made us His people in time. In place, and we serve. We make a joyful noise. We come. See, now, if you don't fit the description, you got no reason to think He hath made you yet. That's just the way it is. These are the commands. And just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't make it, oh, well, we can forget about it. No. The Word of God has not changed. God has not changed since the beginning. If you are to know Him, know the Lord, that He is God, He has to make you. He has to make you His people. And He will make you in time. He promised that as much as He promised us Christ. The promise is no less. If He only said it once, that's all you really need. You know, that's the question. Somebody, how many times does God have to say something? Well, once is all. But not luckily, He knows us. He says it over and over and over again. They wonder where we get this doctrine. I see this doctrine everywhere in this book. And I'm going to tell you something. Once you've seen it, you can't help but not. You're going to see it over and over and over again in different places. I don't remember, you know, I've looked at this and I thought this was a good verse, but then I look at it now and I see all this stuff and I wonder where all this came from. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. It comes from Him. We are His people now as we live on this earth. Not of this world, but in this world. Those who know that the Lord, He is God, they're His people. That's the only one people that can claim it. And those who are His people, because He made them. Those who know the Lord who is God are to know they are His people. He's not going to leave you out there wandering. You may be alone for a while. You may think you're all by yourself. You're not, because the Holy Spirit that's going to be in you is with you. But you may think you're alone. You may feel isolated for a while. But you will know that the Lord, He is God, and that He has made us, and not we ourselves, His people. He has promised to reveal Himself to His people.
Right. Yeah.
I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. But, and, actually not but, and hath revealed them unto babes.
Yeah.
Why are you a babe? What? He just made you. He just made you. Free election known by calling is a privilege divine. I like that. I like that. And then it says, the sheep of his pasture. And the sheep of his pasture. We're his people and we're his sheep. And the sheep of his pasture. Those who know are the sheep of his pasture. They're not lost sheep. He's not talking about lost sheep here. There are lost sheep. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about those who know the Lord. He is God. They are the sheep of his pasture. He goes on. Jeez, it's time for me to stop here. He goes on. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. Enter into his gates and into his courts. I'm going to make this quick. Those who know the Lord, he is God, are told to enter. Mm-hmm. Enter his gates. Not anybody else's. His gates. Now you stop and you think for a minute what gates are for. Gates are usually made to keep some people out. But you're told enter into his gates. I'm not sorry. This is the way it is. This is the word of God. Our God is exclusionary. He is particular about who he lets through his gates.
Yes.
He's only letting through his gates his people. That's it. And if you enter into his gate, guess what? You've entered into his courtyard. I like that. I like that. And the only way into his courtyard is through his gate. And his gates are the only gates that matter. You must be born from above to see the kingdom of God. You must be born of water and the Spirit to what? To enter his gates. His gates. And I do believe that is the washing of regeneration and the renewing of your mind by the Spirit. That's what life comes. Christ reveals himself to the believer. And they do believe. They are given faith. And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells. And guess what? We enter his courtyard through his gate. Why? Because we're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Sheep need to be taken care of. Sheep need to be fed. Sheep need to be led where they can feed. Who's in charge of all that? Not me. Not you. The Good Shepherd. We enter his gates and into his courtyard. Where is it? I marked it here. Well, I've already had it marked. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That. There's a purpose for this. There's a purpose. That he may dwell in thy courts. As his people, he has given us a place to live. And it's not this earth we're talking about. It's in his courts.
Yeah.
Our life is hid with Christ in God. Earl used to quote that all the time, and I still like it. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of what? Thy holy temple. The Lord is deserving of all praise, and the Lord is worthy of all praise. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord of all the earth does right. He's good. You understand? His making of us is good. But I gotta say it. His not making of others is good.
Yeah.
It don't matter whether I understand it or I like it or not.
Right.
Whatever he does is right. Whatever he does is good. I am very glad that he has made me one of his people. Right now, right here. His mercy is everlasting. Well, in this context, guess what that means? If he's made you, he's never going to unmake you. I like that. I like that. His mercy is everlasting. He will not renege on his mercy. No matter what you do. No matter what you do. No matter what you think. No matter what you don't do. His mercy is everlasting. The question is it his mercy? Because this psalm here uses the word us in its description, and that's because it is true of all believers. What we have to answer is this true of me? This is where it comes down to. Do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you love him? Do you want to make a joyful noise? Do you want to serve the Lord with gladness? Do you want to sing? Do you want to praise him? Do you want to enter his gates into his courtyard? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I hope you do. I hope I do. I want to. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. Lord, be with Walter as he stands here to preach your word to us. Give us the understanding, the grace we need to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll give you all the honor and the glory because it is yours and always has been. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.